joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. We got a little bit of a mix-up on the set today. We're changing up the vibe. We got Luke on the ones and twos today, of course. Luke, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Will. You know, just got to make sure I keep those production chops fresh. So getting a little experience in over here. Aaron is otherwise disposed. So you and I getting to be here on the big show with me on the ones and twos.
And we definitely miss you, Aaron. Looking forward to having you back on Monday. But I was able to find a replacement judge for the day. I am very excited to be joined by my friend, Anders Hanhan, the electoral strategy organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. Anders, how are you doing on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing great. It's Friday, so I can't complain. Happy to be on the radio today. Thank you for inviting me, guys.
Of course. It's my absolute favorite Wednesday of the week. A bit of a running joke for us is that I used to join Luke every Wednesday on air. So like we kind of would make the joke if I was on a Tuesday or a Thursday that it's a Wednesday, but of a different type of Wednesday. You know, it's still Wednesday at heart. So now every day is Wednesday. I've just ranked.
And Anders, it's always funnier when you have to explain the jokes. We know that. So that's why Will likes to explain the jokes then.
If there's one
thing about a great joke, it's that it's been sufficiently explained. So it is Friday. That means it's Wisconsin headlines of the week. If you have a oh-so Wisconsin headline you would like to share with us, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. As the defending, reigning world champion of Town Call, because I won last week for the first time in a while.
Scoreboard.
I will defer. I admitted that first time in a while. I will defer to you, Mr. Luke Mathers, for the first Wisconsin headline of the week.
Yeah, folks. And if you share a Wisconsin headline with us today here on Town Call, you could enter into first individual to give us a good Wisconsin headline. You're going to win 4-pack of tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair kicking off next Thursday. So 844-967-2789. Get those phone lines ready to share your Wisconsin headlines with us here across civic media on Town Call. But leading off today, you know, it's not a fun one, Will. It is pretty Wisconsin, but it is not only a very Wisconsin headline, it is one of the top headlines here in the state for today, and it is this one over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about an event that took place at the U.S. Capitol earlier this week. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden curses at teen Senate pages during Capitol tour. Low-hanging fruit.
I know. That was the very first one I was going to use too, and I was debating whether or not I should defer to you because I had a feeling this headline was going to come up right away.
Well, you made your decision.
I did.
And
I got to sleep in that bed now. That's fair.
This is unfortunately a very Wisconsin headline. It seems to be that this is I don't know. It begs the question: is the state sending our best to Congress? And Derek Van Orden having another shouting match with teenagers. It seems to be the story over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel continues on the piece written up by Lawrence Andrea, freshman Republican U.S. Representative. Derek Van Orden yelled and cursed at a group of high school age Senate pages while giving a late night tour of the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday, an action that drew a rebuke from Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. So not only was the outburst profanity laced, and if you've read the transcript or if you've heard it from other sources, I can't share it with you here. It's not FCC friendly.
I was just going to make that joke, Luke.
It is well laced with profanity. And so I cannot share what the outburst included. One of the Senate pages quickly wrote down after the event happened what the representative said. So it was a firsthand immediate account that night, Wednesday evening. But then Punchbowl News, one of the kind of inside the beltway news sources, Will, Punch Bowl News, one of those outlets that sends, like, you know, the really insider information. If you're subscribing to Punch Bowl, you're probably really, really well-versed into politics. And Punch Bowl News shared out a photo then of some empty bottles.
I saw this.
And empty beer cans in Congressman Derek Van Orden's office. Now, the congressman is saying, well, there was a constituent gathering, and that's why the empties were there. But it seems like there may have been some alcohol-induced profanity surrounding this event then. And unfortunately, that's pretty Wisconsin.
That's very Wisconsin, Luke.
That's very Wisconsin.
The quote is bad. It's every, like, third word is something that we can't say on air. He goes on for multiple sentences, essentially reading over from a piece at Business Insider, because this story has garnered some national attention now. They used the term screamed instead of just yelled and cursed.
Tirade.
At the high school aged teenagers working in the Senate as assistants. Wow, that's you hit the nail on the head, Luke, with are we sending our best? Because this is not good. Though I will note how humorous it is that in response to coverage of the late night altercation, Van Orden both confirmed that the incident occurred and issued a statement arguing that he'd been, quote, threatened with bad press, unquote, from his outburst. Then he added, go ahead, Anders.
The tweet that I have up now, actually, he released with that statement was a quote tweet of a journalist who posted a photo from outside his office with the liquor bottles that you can see if you zoom in really close. And he said, Derek Van Orden from his Twitter said, how do you say you have never been to Wisconsin without saying you've never been to Wisconsin?
Yeah, because what office place around Wisconsin doesn't have empties littered around it? No, that's acting like every single workplace in our state does that. And that is not the case. So the downplaying of it by both the congressmen, we've got former Governor Scott Walker chiming in saying, that's super Wisconsin. Let's get the man some cheese curds and custard in his online defense of the congressman as well. And it downplays a serious problem. That is Wisconsin. That the verbal abuse that is on display from this tirade is something that Wisconsinites have to deal with other Wisconsinites that have that problem all the time. And so I do point this out. It is unfortunate how Wisconsin this headline is. Downplaying it is not the way that I think this should be talked about, as the way that the congressman and other Republicans are trying to do now. It's also important to point out, this isn't the first time that Derek Van Orden has got into a shouting match with teenagers.
That he once threatened that library staffer over books, over a books display.
Yes.
A young library staffer just doing their job was threatened, screamed at, verbally assaulted by Derek Van Orden over something that they really had no control over. The library sets up its displays on its own, but this poor worker just happened to be in the line of fire of Mr. Van Orden.
Yes, and so it is something that will now be downplayed because it has received so much national attention. But it will be interesting to see who stands with the condemning of this, and who stands with Derek Van Orden trying to downplay it. And so that will be something to watch in the fallout of this story. But Will, I unfortunately had to use that one for the leadoff of most Wisconsin headline of the week this week.
No, that's fair. It needed to be. It needed to be the leadoff. I do think, in addition to Van Orden, you know, trying to play the victim, he's being threatened with bad press. He added, quote, luckily, bad press has never bothered me. And if it's the price I pay to stand up for what's right, then so be it, unquote.
Yelling at teenagers.
For what's right?
What? What?
Forgetting the Punch Bowl News that you noted, Luke, Max Cohen said that according to Max Cohen, Van Orden, who said in his statement that the Capitol, quote, should never be treated like a frat house common room, unquote, had been heard drunkenly partying loudly with his staff into the late hours of the night before the incident occurred. So, yeah.
That's the rules for me, or rules for thee and not for me. Is that what you always like to say, Will?
I love saying it, Luke. I got to tap the sign again because that's exactly it. Perfect. So my turn now. And Luke, I'm not going to fault you for taking that. That was the most necessary.
It's almost cheating.
It's almost cheating because it had to be said.
Cheating. It's so Wisconsin.
It's like the if you ever played fantasy football in the early days, whoever got the first pick and took LaDainian Tomlinson, how you're like guaranteed to win. Or if you played fantasy hockey and how they had to split Wayne Gretzky into multiple periods, you would either get like first period win, second period win, or third period win because you would automatically
win. I'm a Vikings fan. I pick Adrian Peterson over LT.
Okay, well,
that made my team killer.
That's just wrong, Anders. But especially for the analogy I was making. But I'm going to stick with football, which is why I got into the comparison, because my first headline of the week that I wanted to jump to that I thought was the low-hanging fruit until Derek Van Orden gave us his performance is that – oh, hang on. There we go. The Green Bay Packers have acquired Foam Nation Inc., the company responsible for creating the original cheesehead per the team. Now, this is unfortunately the most relevant offseason news that we had heard from Packers camp for a couple weeks until this event came up. But it just screamed, oh, so very Wisconsin. I believe the original warehouse manufacturing site, I don't know how you would properly frame that, but was in Milwaukee, in fact, or at least the venue in Milwaukee that was the old Cheesehead factory, because I visited it 2 years ago and bought myself an official Cheesehead. I had a couple, but they, you know, after years of wear and tear, they weren't quite as in the shape that I would be proud to wear to Lambo anymore. So I went and had to go pick up a new copy. Make sure I was ready to go for my next visit up there. But that's my top, or at least jumping off point, let's say, for headlines of the week. As Luke knows, I love to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. So I'll be ready to go with more headlines. Anders, I know you prepared a headline for us too. Is that correct? We're going to have to get to that when we come back, but I'm excited to hear what you have in store as a first-time participant.
Yeah, no, I have a headline. Of course, it's serious. It's climate related because that's my thing. Environment's my thing. So, but I'm excited to get to talk about it. You know, we've had a lot of ups and downs in these fights around pipelines and mining and extractive industries in Wisconsin. So we have a pretty good news story. Well, good news and bad news story. We can talk about it more.
Wonderful. I'm excited to have you here today, Anders. I'm excited to have you judge. I mean, we both know what the final results will be, even though Luke took LaDainian Tomlinson with the first pick. So we're going to be right back.
Does that mean that you paid the judge? Did you already pay off the judge? Is that what you just said, that you know what the outcome is?
I know what the outcome is because my headlines are going to be better.
Oh, okay. Folks, you're listening to Town Call.
You pay the normal judge. 844-967-2789.
Share your Wisconsin headlines with us. Earn some tickets to the state fair. Let's have some fun on this Friday afternoon. Town Call is going to be right back.
Six, the Devil's Advocates with Tom and Cruz. Then at six, the Maggie Dawn Show on Mad Radio. I should have. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Friday, and that means it's Wisconsin Headlines of the Week. We are joined by Anders Hanhan today, and Anders, I hear you have a couple of headlines ready to go too. You're participating. You did your homework, which is more than Luke can say some Fridays, but not this Friday, Luke. You did your homework. You did your homework this Friday. I'll give you that.
I was in the hallway right before class started, scrambling and just trying to, you know, get something down on the paper so that I could turn it in. So shout out to Derek Van Orden for just having this coverage.
Making your job easy.
Yeah, making my job a little bit easier then.
He makes
All right,
it.
Anders, what do you
he
got
makes
for
it
us?
Too easy. Yeah, so I have my headline comes from the Wisconsin Examiner. Tribal leaders and environmental advocates decry Enbridge appeal of Line 5 ruling. So I don't know if how many of your viewers know what's been, or listeners know what's been going on up in northern Wisconsin. There's been this back and forth for a while now between the Bad River Tribe up, which is up by Ashland, Wisconsin, and Enbridge, to see whether or not Enbridge's pipeline, one, is extremely unsafe, which it verifiably is, and two, has been trespassing on Bad River land. So earlier this summer, a judge sided with the Bad River Nation partially, and basically said that Enbridge has 3 years to shut down Line 5 entirely, which is something that Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, has been essentially trying to force their hand into doing for the past 3 to 4 years. And they'll need to pay $5 million in profits, which is frankly tiny when it comes to the environmental impact of some of these things, to the Bad River Tribe for trespassing. Because what that judge decided was that Enbridge has been trespassing on Bad River land for 10 years when an agreement expired that gave Enbridge an easement to put 12 miles of pipeline on the Bad River through the Bad River Tribe. Enbridge swears they have a deal with the reservation that goes through the year 2043, not 2013. You know, what they're going to say what they're going to say to make their money, right? But I think what it comes down to at the end of the day now is the judge has left a window open for, in the next 3 years, Enbridge to reroute the pipeline around the reservation and continue to run it, for example, under the Straits of Mackinac, where even, you know, a boat, you know, a piece of debris could potentially puncture that tube and leak oil into the entire Great Lakes watershed. And at the end of the day, what it comes down to is it doesn't physical borders in many of these instances with the amount of lakes and rivers and that are all interconnected that we have in Wisconsin, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're moving it, this 12-mile section off of the Bad River land, because at the end of the day, when the pipeline fails, because pipelines always fail, there's no such thing as a pipeline that doesn't fail, it will continue to devastate the same water systems that have been devastated this entire time. And I know it's not funny, like Derek Van Orden being, you know, a belligerent jerk in Congress, and it's easy to laugh about that, but this issue truly, truly is important to a lot of people. It impacts the clean water of millions and millions and millions of Americans. It impacts the entire Great Lakes watershed system. And, you know, the judge, in a way, making them shut it down in 3 years is good, but it'll open the door for them to continue to operate it. And if they do continue to operate it, which seems to be Enbridge's goal, they're confident they can build the reroute within a year of getting the permits from the state of Wisconsin, it would continue to be catastrophic for the environment, even though you might get the minor win of them having to move it off the physical boundary of the Bad River Reservation.
No, you're exactly right, Anders. This is incredibly, incredibly important. I think that, you know, one thing, if there's one thing that's so Wisconsin in the sense that our pristine natural wildlife and natural ecosystems is second to none in the United States. You know, people seek out Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin in particular, as one of the last refuges of you know, untouched wilderness. The fishing up there is incredible. Just the ability to go out in nature and really experience what the world was like before the Industrial Revolution and the Technological Revolution. Wisconsin is so, so unique in that regard. And we really need to be doing all we can to protect what's left of our natural environment. I think the quote, there was a quote I was reading from an Earth Justice attorney representing the band. She notes that Enbridge's appeal, like their proposal to reroute the pipeline, is simply a misguided attempt to keep the oil and their profits flowing at the expense of the band and everyone else who relies on the Great Lakes. Hundreds of wetlands exactly. and waterways in this unique ecosystem would be impacted by the reroute project, which only moves the threat of an oil spill further upstream from its current path. The only serious solution is to shut down and decommission Line 5. They're simply moving the problem elsewhere.
Well, that's 100% true. And I think the number one misconception that Enbridge is so good at greenwashing this message and hammering this message to rural people that live in these rural communities that aren't super educated on the issue. They are really good at playing the smoke and mirrors game, because at the end of the day, what it is it's a Canadian corporation running a pipeline from a Canadian tar sand site in Alberta through Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and then ending back in Canada. Their number one misconception is that this oil is what could make Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan energy independent, when at the end of the day, this oil starts in Canada and it ends in Canada.
There's no benefit to us, but we're taking all the risk of the pipeline failing. Our environment is the one that will be destroyed.
And you know, there's always been this jobs argument with this too. And it was the same thing when we were looking at Line 3 back in 2020 and 2021 in Minnesota, is that this jobs argument. They're also very good at greenwashing this, you know, we'll give you union good paying jobs in communities where they've really been devastated, especially since the pandemic, as cost of living has skyrocketed. And of course, wages have remained stagnant. But at the end of the day, constructing a pipeline takes, they admit it themselves, less than a year. You know, if we're looking for stable jobs for these people to support their communities and their families and the small economies in northern Wisconsin, short-term jobs like this aren't going to do us any good. What we need to be doing is we need to be training those workers that are coming out of mining and extractive industries on how to implement a green and renewable power grid. The fastest growing job in the country, aside from elder care, is solar panel installation and maintenance, believe it or not.
That is an excellent headline, Anders. We might have to bring you back for future headlines of as long as you vote in on my behalf at the end of the show, of course.
Again, trying to work the ref as any opportunity you get.
Hey, go watch Kobe Bryant play. All right, he's been doing. He was a master of this. You're just
don't invoke Kobe's name in reference to yourself. Do you think you're Kobe Bryant? What?
I'm trying to emulate the way that he just casually would work an official throughout the course of a game. You're just giving him a little whisper here that hey, he fouled me on that upreach. Watch for the hand reach, all that kind of stuff. But Anders, also,
I think you think a little too highly of yourself, Will.
No comment. I also have to note that the fine of about, what was it? No more than $5 million, right?
$5 million.
Nothing if they've been trespassing for north of 10 years, making hundreds of millions of dollars off of this. It's the old analogy about the recall, right? It's just the price of doing business.
Can I tell you, in the perspective of that $5 million, what Enbridge's annual gross profit was last year?
Yes.
Almost $16 billion.
So it's literally less than pennies. It's not even worth them bending down to pick it up. It's just the price of doing business.
$16 billion, which is a 9% increase from the year before. And they've seen a $4 billion a year increase in profits just since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. At the expense of us and our waterways and our environment. So excellent headline, Anders. We're going to go back to Luke for number two on the day. Luke, what is your second headline of the day?
Yeah, so my second one in the similar vein as your first one, leaning into the football, but also just a very, very Wisconsin thing for some of us UW grads, and maybe you'll be able to suss it out. But the headline is, Jim Leonard has a new role with a Wisconsin football rival. And a lot of Badgers, when they graduate, they leave. And obviously, Jim Leonard he graduated a while ago. But he left as his role with UW last year after we hired Luke Fickle as the Wisconsin football program. Found a new head coach that was not Jim Leonard. The question would be, where does he go? And a lot of Badgers, when they're done with their time at UW, go to Illinois. Typically Chicago, but Jim Leonard going to be a little bit different going to Champaign, because he is going to be part of the Fighting Illini now as a defensive analyst. So it's a pretty Wisconsin vibe of a headline, Will, because Badgers, they tend to go down to Chicago or elsewhere in Illinois, and that's what Jim Leonard's doing, we found out this week.
As our resident Badger, I'm going to have to take your word for it, because I would not have known otherwise. So I'll defer to your expertise in that regard and say, okay, sure. A lot of Badgers are heading down to Chicago.
See, now I have to explain the joke and it's just not as funny, I guess.
Maybe I set you up for that. Maybe I did know that, but wanted you to have to explain the joke. I'll never reveal my secrets.
Fair enough.
But with my second headline of the week, I'm actually going to learn from something Anders mentioned earlier, which was basically, you know, he's obviously from Minnesota. He's a bit of a Vikings fan. He was a little disappointed that I led with a Packers headline, but of course I'm going to lead with a Packers headline. So now I'm going to defer to a headline that's more related to what Anders wants to talk about. Reading from PBSWisconsin.org, call other state attorneys. Attorney generals oppose settlement with 3M over PFAS pollution. 22 attorneys general want a federal court to reject a $10.3 billion deal between a manufacturer and attorneys representing hundreds of communities that have sued the company over PFAS in drinking water. Now, I believe 3M is a Minnesota-based company as well, is it not?
That's correct. St. Paul, Minnesota.
St. Paul, Minnesota. So, get your PFAS out of our environment, please, Anders. We would like to protect this pristine Wisconsin wilderness. And it's kind of gross, I think, that so little has been done about these forever chemicals. Remember, they don't degrade naturally in the environment. They've been linked to a variety of health problems, including liver and immune system damage and some cancers. And they have had essentially free reign for the past 15 to 20 years.
And Will, why I agree with you on all of that. Is that a very Wisconsin headline if 21 other attorneys general are also signing on to it? I feel like that it's an important headline. I feel like you're trying to work the ref and go into a subject that he cares clearly deeply about. But is that a super Wisconsin headline if there's 21 other states joining in on it? Just throwing it out there. Just asking questions.
I would say cry more, Luke, would be my response to that. Cry more, Luke.
Okay, Will. All right. I just had a point of inquiry. That was all. I wanted to find out how Wisconsin it was. But yes, PFAS contamination, very, again, on an unfortunate Wisconsin story, but very widespread throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a widespread Wisconsin story, and I would argue maybe not to pick a side here, but Governor Evers,
working the ref's works. Is that what you're about to say, Anders?
Governor Evers just committed some money to PFAS remediation, woefully inadequate and incredibly minuscule to the degree of the problem. But I mean, maybe you can tie it to Wisconsin there.
Well, it's $125 million in the upcoming biennial budget for PFAS mitigation, as you alluded to. That was the first time that Republicans in the state legislature put any money behind any form of being able to clean up PFAS. So we are starting to see some compromise there when it comes to what's going on with PFAS here in the state. But I just don't know if this headline's all that. The most Wisconsin headline of the week. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Tell that to PBSWisconsin.org, Mr. Mathers.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We are joined by Anders Hanhan here on Town Call on this Friday afternoon. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. If you submit your Wisconsin headline of the week, you can win some tickets to the state fair. 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back. Alrighty.
Noise. All right.
Mustard Museum will be closed and live music will be served up.
Hallelujah, it's Friday. Cause I've been working all week.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Friday, it's Wisconsin Headlines of the Week. We're joined by Anders Hanhan, and Anders, I hear you have a second headline ready. You definitely did your homework this week. Let's hear your second headline of the week.
Yeah, of course. And this one comes courtesy of my organization on Twitter. So if you're looking for a good progressive news feed online, at Our Wisconsin Rev is a great place to be. And thanks to our lovely social media staff, I have this WPR article. Wisconsin restaurant owner owes more than $270,000 in employee back pay and violated child labor laws. Now, this is the restaurant Casa Tequila, which has locations in Pewaukee, West Bend, Waukesha, and Hartford. has violated the Fair Labor Standards Act, minimum wage, record keeping, and child labor provisions, including some of the following things. Operating an invalid tip pool where they were giving the tips to employees that were not tipped employees. Failing to pay overtime repeatedly. Employing children of ages 14 and 15 past 9 p.m. for more than 8 hours in West Bend and Waukesha. And failing to display Fair Labor Standards Act posters with, you know, like with all the information about these are your rights. So when you're paying people less than minimum wage, essentially, even after their tipped wage, and you're not even providing them with the information, then that's illegal. That is double illegal. And this is
that a new term? Is that a new term? Double illegal? Just
there's too much double illegal going on in Wisconsin, you know. So, but these violations impacted over 100 employees. The company has only been fined $2,300 for its child labor violations, but is required to pay, as the headline stated, almost $300,000 in back pay. And I don't know, man, if there's a headline that's more Wisconsin right now than, you know, violating basic labor laws and, you know, child labor and paying people just
I thought Iowa was leading in that, though. That almost feels like a most Iowa. It's a Wisconsin feature of Iowa labor laws.
Remember, child labor laws are coming to the forefront across the nation recently.
And the meat packing plant that had workers in, I believe, Kansas or Missouri and Iowa, that meat packing cleaning operation based here in southwestern Wisconsin, I believe.
Well, and Arkansas just put into a law weakening child labor restrictions in the state, too. So I don't understand what this whole obsession is with, like, seemingly an issue that was decided like 100 years ago.
14-year-olds don't want to work anymore, Anders. 14-year-olds don't want to work.
Shouldn't be working 8-hour days past 9 p.m. when, you know, they have to go to middle school in the morning. You know, seems like a no-brainer, but, you know, this is a state that's led by lovely ethical models of ethical business, like Robin Voss and his lovely, you know, rental monopolies all across the state are setting a great example for people.
And another, to take it a step further, Anders, remember a 16-year-old boy was killed in an accident at a Wisconsin sawmill a few weeks ago. And remember that Wisconsin Republicans have been backing a proposal to allow children as young as 14 to serve alcohol in bars and restaurants. So this is an issue that will be coming to the forefront in the very near future. Wage theft in particular, minimum wage violations in the U.S. last year, $23 billion. Overtime violations, $8.8 billion.
That's just absurd, too, being that our state minimum wage hasn't changed since the federal government did. It changed it to $7.25 an hour
in 2009.
In most places in the state, which in most areas of the state, the living wage is at least $15 an hour. In many bigger areas, it's well over $20 to $25 an hour. So when you're committing wage theft and the minimum wage is already, in many cases, less than a third of the cost of living, like, it's just, you know,
I want to throw some numbers out there for you too, Anders.
You can talk about Minnesota all you want, but, you know, our minimum wage is going to be up at 15 within the next few years. Right now we're at almost 13, still not matching the cost of living, of course. And Senator Sanders just today introduced a bill to raise the federal minimum wage to $17 an hour, which is very, very important issue, and I would argue even 17 is inadequate in most parts of the country.
Here's some numbers for you too, Anders. When people talk theft and crime, right? Other types of theft, larceny in the United States per year, about $5.3 billion. Burglary, $4.1 billion. Auto theft, $3.8 billion. Well, wage theft, off-the-clock violations are $3.2 billion alone. Rest break violations, $4 billion. And as I just noted, overtime violations at $8.8 billion is more than all those other types of theft. Minimum wage violations at $23.2 billion is more than all of those types of theft combined. So we got little bit of time left here. We're gonna go quick rapid fire, Luke, to throw our last couple headlines out there. I got one from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Okay. Two in a row for you. Okay, that works. All right.
My apologies. Well, I'm not gonna get into the details. I just loved hearing it. Wisconsin joins USDA partnership tackling lack of competition in agriculture food industry. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has joined a group of state attorney general.
I thought you weren't getting into the piece.
Working with federal officials on anti-competitive practices in agriculture. That's it. Just reading the headline.
Just a little bit.
My final submission
for Andres to consider this week from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee was the top market in viewership for World Cup match between U.S. women's national team and the Netherlands. Nobody has World Cup fever like Milwaukee has World Cup fever. That piece by Drake Bentley over at the Milwaukee Journal.
That's a great headline too, Luke. Did you see, I'm not submitting this, but I saw a funny image on Twitter of people that were leaving the EAA filling their carts with like Spotted Cow and Moon Man and like all the different new Glarus beers. And I was like, that's very Wisconsin too. So Anders, who had the best Wisconsin headlines of the week?
No, that doesn't count. That's not open for consideration.
Strike that from the record, please.
You should have used that, though, because that's not a bad story.
It wasn't a headline. Up in Appleton,
I've been stuck in EAA traffic all week, so that would have hit me home. It seemed like the easy answer, and I really do like the U.S.-Netherlands story, because that is really awesome, and soccer is not valued enough in this country. But I have to give it to Luke on the first story with Derek Van Orden. I can't imagine a more Wisconsin story than a belligerently drunk congressman harassing teenagers.
Allegedly.
That's about
allegedly.
Wisconsin as it gets.
We don't know for certain if he was drunk or not, but there were empty bottles.
Allegedly.
Let's throw it out there. Folks,
there were clues littered around the floor of his office.
This has been Town Call. Appreciate you, Anders, for joining us. If you missed any portion of the show, check out the podcast. Town Call will be back on Monday, 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Except you, Mr. Congressman. You got to take it extra easy. All right, we are out.
You got to slow down up there, DVO.